Welcome to Plant Empowered Fitness, a podcast for amazing, ambitious women like you who are ready to get in the best shape of their lives. Your host, nutrition and fitness coach, Tamara Marie, will show you how to transform your body with optimal plant-based nutrition and pain-free muscle toning techniques so you can burn body fat, shrink your waistline, and boost your energy without suffering through hours of intense cardio. In every episode, you'll get simple, actionable advice so you can thrive at 35, be fierce over 40, and fabulous at 50 and beyond. Here is your host, Tamara Marie.
Welcome to another episode of the Plant Empowered Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Tamara Marie. And today I wanted to talk about a subject that really has been on my mind because of conversations I've been having with clients and with just other people in sort of the fitness space around getting older, right? So a lot of people have been fascinated by this idea of anti-aging lately. So we've been talking about ways to slow down or somehow try to fight aging. There have been some specials that have come out on Netflix. There's one, the Twin Experiment, and a couple others that the Blue Zones came out recently too, I think at the beginning of the year. So they talked a lot about what are the things that make the difference but for people who live 100 years or more or not. And for me, I really thought this was interesting because a lot of times we tend to think that when we get to a certain age, no matter what that number is, and we all have our different idea of what we think old is. I know when I was 17, I thought that 30 was old. And now, not so much now that I'm 42. So I think it's really interesting that we have this idea about age and what it means to age and get older. So I thought I would talk a little bit about why it actually is more difficult to get fit at age 40 and beyond, because it is real, right? It's not just in our imagination that at 40, that the things that we could do when we were 20 are no longer on the table for us, or at least not at the same level, capacity, energy, etc. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And then what we really can do to mitigate or almost eliminate those obstacles, because the fact of the matter is, just because you've reached a certain age, whether you consider that 40 or 50 or whatever age you feel like it is that you started feeling old, that doesn't mean that life is over. I always tell the story about how I first started bodybuilding, and it never really crossed my mind till I had a friend who used to be a personal trainer mention to me, just kind of offhand, and he was looking at my physique, and not in a creepy way. I know it sounds weird, but I was wearing like the sleeveless dress, and he had kind of noticed when I started working out that, you know, I had built some muscle. And he was like, gosh, you missed your calling. You should have been a bodybuilder. And I was like, what do you mean I miss my calling? I'm like, I am 40. I'm not dead. So there is this like with just perception we have about age and aging in the society. So I wanted to talk about the real impacts of aging. Like, it is real, right? We can try to mitigate it, but we have to just deal with reality. And then what we can do to, again, like I said before, eliminate and make some of those things a non-issue, because we are still living, we are still breathing, and there's no reason we can't live vibrant and full lives and be lean and strong and happy and healthy for that entire time. And I think that's really what some of this anti-aging sort of focus is about. It's not about just getting old, because you can get old and be unhealthy and be brittle and frail and not in your right frame of mind. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't consider that living. So I don't think we want to live to 100 just to be 100 years old and catatonic or in a vegetative state. We want those years to be vibrant and full of life, whatever that means for us. So let me first just talk about what it is that makes it harder for us to get fit when we are 40. Some of these will be obvious to you. Some of these will be a little bit less obvious, but rest assured, like I said, at the end, I will talk about some ways to make these non-issues. All right. So the first thing is just a very real time crunch that we find ourselves in when we get to a certain age. Now, when you're 20, we all have had different experiences in life, but chances are you probably had a lot less responsibilities than you do now, right? So if you were either in college or starting your career, getting your first job, you probably had an entry-level position that probably wasn't too cognitively demanding, but was probably more demanding of your time. and your energy, but you still had time to think and to dream and to set goals and to think very much about yourself. 20 years later, at age 40 plus, you might find that time is more limited. Why? You might be taking care of children or a partner or your own parents or grandparents, as we have those who used to raise us who are now aging, and now the tables are starting to turn where they need more of our assistance, whether they admit it or not, right? So we kind of, and we're also starting to see the people that we saw at our age when we were younger and where they are now. And we're starting to realize, ooh, is that how I want to be when I am 60 or 70 or 80, right? And I won't talk about politics at the time of this recording. We are in the middle of a presidential election, and one of the topics has been, these are two really old guys running for office. So the idea of like being in this place, we're starting to think more about our longevity and our future. And we also just don't have as much time to do so, because we are taking care of more things. We probably are further along in our career. So whereas maybe in our 20s and 30s, we were either trying to establish ourselves or build a career, we might be at a point now where we're pretty established. We have a lot of responsibility. Our job is a lot more demanding, not just of our time, but also of our minds, right? We have to be present in a way. We have to make decisions. We probably have a little bit more stress involved in our jobs, or maybe we've lost a job. We've started a new career and we're starting again. So we have to go through that entire process. So we just tend to have less time to sit and think about ourselves. We're taking care of others. We're taking care of a business, so to speak, whether we're entrepreneurs, we have our own career, we're a service-based profession, or whatever it is, we have to show up. And all of that requires our presence and our energy, and then we have very little left for ourselves. By the time we take care of our business, our jobs, our loved ones, our children, and sort of manage their lives and do the things that we needed to do our own adulting, at the end of the day, it's like, well, what happened to what I wanted to do today or this week or this month or this year? So the time crunch is real. And it's because of all these other demands that we have on our time and our energy that can make it hard to dedicate the same amount of focus that we did when we were younger. The second thing is an energy shift. So I talked a little bit about this with the time issue. Our energy really does begin to shift as we get older. And there's many reasons for this. One is, like I mentioned, the stress factor, right? We realize, or we don't always realize, that the amount of things that we have on our plate, the amount of stress that we have, can cause us to really be overwhelmed and overloaded a lot quicker. And we also don't have the capacity that we used to have, right? I don't know about you, but I remember thinking back, man, I used to stay out all night or stay up all night or pull an all-nighter on like studying something or working on a project. And I'd recover like the next day or two. Now it's like, okay, if I have one night where I'm like, oh, I'll just stay out a little late and I'm a grown up, it takes a couple days, right? I might be in zombie mode for longer than I would like to admit to. So I think this whole idea of, I like this one quote, it's like people, I think I saw it like on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or something, I don't know. But it was like, I can still party like a rock star, but I can't recover like one. So it's real, right? The idea that our energy is different and it does take us longer to recover is a reason why it can be harder to get fit when you're in your 40s, because that recovery process is really where all the magic happens. That's where fat is burned. That's where muscle is built. That's where stress is sort of unloaded. And we're actually able to send a signal to our bodies that it's safe. It's okay to get lean. It's okay not to just go emotionally eat in the middle of the night because I feel okay. All these things sort of pile up, and that's due to our sort of diminished capacity for energy. So I'll talk a little bit about some things that you can do about that. But one I'll mention right now is that I always tell my clients this: if you have a night or a few nights of bad sleep, this can happen if you have a child that's transitioning to sleep on their own, if you have been sick or you've been taking care of a loved one that's not well and you've been overextending yourself, if you've been working nights, longer shifts, whatever it is, right? If you have a couple nights of bad sleep or a night of bad sleep and you feel like a zombie, I always say to take a moment. You might not have time for a nap, and often we're too stressed out to get calmed down enough to take a nap, right? Or we just don't have that luxury of time in the middle of the day to go and like take a siesta, not if we live in the U.S. But anyway, So I always say try to sneak away for like 10 minutes and do a practice that's called yoga nidra. Now, this is just a fancy way of saying you're taking a yoga nap, or it's more of a, think of it like a guided meditation that's sort of like a body scan. So it gets you to be present and to calm down your nervous system without actually going into deep sleep. And it's really powerful practice for those times when you really just haven't been able to refresh. There's tons of videos on YouTube. If you just Google like yoga nidra, N-I-D-R-A, you can find some prompts that you can follow along with. They're 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And you can just sit in your car if you need to on a lunch break or something and just take that time to sort of restore your and reset your those stress levels. It really is helpful. So that's one little trick that I share with my clients, but there's also a couple other things that I suggest. But in any case, having our energy levels change is real, and we need to acknowledge that does make it harder to get fit. Now, the next thing, and you might be really familiar with this, especially if you are a woman in your 40s and you've been going through this, maybe even in your 50s, is hormonal changes. So just like when you were a teenager or a preteen going through puberty, a lot of people call menopause the second puberty. But it's not just menopause. A lot of people don't realize that menopause is actually having 12 full months without a menstrual cycle. However, that time beforehand, which is called perimenopause, which is what most people associate with the symptoms of menopause, is when it can be the, I don't want to say the scariest, but definitely the most variable time. So this is when you tend to experience the symptoms. This can actually last for a period of up to 10 years. So this is why when you're in your 40s, I always kind of laugh and say women in their 40s, we kind of all understand each other. We're all just kind of a little bit all over the place because we are going through these hormonal shifts and they're just not predictable or consistent. Because it's funny, because we have these sort of levels of estrogen that are starting to decline, it's sort of interfering with the balance of estrogen and testosterone and progesterone. So yes, we do have testosterone as women, even though that's associated with sort of as a male hormone, we definitely do have testosterone as well. And it's not so much just the level of one of those hormones, but it's sort of the balance between them. So that begins to shift throughout our cycle. Our cycles begin to change. We have all of these different things that are going on and we're not always aware of them. And sometimes we can predict them, right? But they become less predictable as we go through this perimenopausal phase. And not only do they become less predictable, they also become, they change, right? They can become more severe or less severe. We don't really know always when these changes are going to happen, and what we could sort of set our clock by when we were in our 20s and 30s is no longer the case in some instances. So this impacts a little bit of everything. It impacts our energy levels and it can impact our sleep. It can impact our ability to feel strong enough to train, right? So there's all these sort of things that happen as our hormones start to shift and we go through this sort of perimenopausal phase. So that is a real thing. Fortunately, plant-based nutrition has been proven to really help mitigate and really lessen those symptoms. It's not a sort of a miracle drug, but definitely following plant-based nutrition, paying attention to that can make these symptoms decline very quickly. So that's a free giveaway. Spoiler alert, plant nutrition really does help with those symptoms. But in any case, that is kind of another issue. And the last thing that I'll talk about, the reason why it's harder to get fit when you are in your 40s is, I don't really know how to put this into like one catchy term, but I guess I can call it the chickens coming home to roost. Right, so the idea of that is there are things that we could get away with when we were in our teens, our 20s and 30s that maybe weren't ideal, but it didn't impact us too much. But as we get to our 40s, all those things start to catch up with us. So yeah, you probably could eat a pizza and not gain weight, or you probably could stay up all night like I mentioned before, or you may have had some health issues that were lingering when you were younger that are now coming to bear, right? So we are starting to see this show up in our blood work. Our doctors are telling us you've got prediabetes now after years of eating greasy foods and meat products and things like that. We have family members who now we are seeing are facing chronic illness or starting to pass away from these illnesses, and that stuff is sort of passed down sometimes generation to generation. And if we don't change our habits, we find ourselves in those same positions. And it becomes very real when the doctor tells you that you have to get your blood pressure under control, your weight under control, your cholesterol under control, or you could have a stroke, a heart attack, you can develop cancer, diabetes. These things are real. And when you get into your 40s, it becomes very apparent that the habits that you established in your 20s and 30s are either reaping the benefits of or suffering the consequences from. And this could even be mental health issues. So I talked about perimenopause and how women in our 40s and 50s, sometimes we seem like we're a little all over the place. But if you had maybe a mental health issue that you didn't deal with in your 20s or 30s, or relationship issues or all of these things, they are going to start to really hit you in your 40s. And you're going to realize, whoa, I probably should have gone to therapy 10 years ago, or I probably should have left this relationship or stopped hanging around these people 10 years ago, right? And these things do have very real impacts on our health, and our health impacts our ability to be lean, to be fit, to have energy, right? All those things are related. So if you're hanging around people that have no goals and aspirations, or if you're isolated, or if you're in toxic relationships, or if you're eating foods that are not ideal for you, or if your sleep has been an issue your whole life, but you were able to get by, or if you had an undiagnosed condition like anxiety or depression or ADHD or OCD or the numerous sort of neuroatypical things that we all start to realize, oh, that is why my entire life things have been this way. The 40s just tends to be a time when we start to kind of become more aware of this. Some of this can even start in your 30s as you start to realize you could be judging yourself against your peers, or just realizing, I thought I would be at a different place in my life right now. I thought I'd be in a different body. I thought I would feel different. I thought my achievements would be different. All of that is starting to catch up with us in our 40s. So it's sort of this time of reaping what you've sown. And I think that can make it really hard to get fit, because now it's not just a new issue that sprung up. It is actually a chronic issue that we have just realized. And those habits can be hard to break. So I hope this wasn't too doomsday, but there is light at the end of this tunnel. Because now that you understand that, number one, if you're finding it harder to get fit at 40, it's not all in your head. The people you see on Instagram are not these magical unicorns that floated out of heaven. Like, they have been doing things differently than you. That is the only thing that separates you from the people that you admire. And the thing about it is, we have to be real with where we are, but also realize that just because we are in whatever space that we're in, it doesn't mean that we cannot make things better, but we might have to try a different approach, because what we did in our 20s and 30s is just not going to work anymore. And that can be a hard realization, because especially if you're used to doing things a certain way, and you know it worked before, it can be like banging your head against the wall, like, I'm gonna keep trying it, why isn't it working, why isn't it working? And then we get frustrated, then we get angry with ourselves, and then we down spiral into depression and then emotional eating, and it all just feeds on itself and it becomes a vicious cycle. So let's talk about how to get out of that. Again, this is not meant to be a Debbie Downer, so let's talk about the three things that you need to shift if you wanna get fit in your 40s that you probably did not do in your 20s. So the first thing, and there are three S's, all right? So it'd be easy for you to remember. The first thing is to get support. So I've talked about a lot of issues that maybe you may have been noticing. You're thinking, oh my gosh, like, she's right. I have noticed I have a little bit of brain fog now, or I have noticed that I just don't have the energy I used to have. What do I do? The first thing is to get support. And I know this is hard, especially if you are independent. You are smart, you are capable, and I know you have achieved things, and I know you have done them on your own, but it is not a sign of weakness to ask for help. And I know that is hard to do, because it's hard for me to do. And if you're listening to this and you can relate in any way, if you have been used to taking care of yourself, it can be really hard to say, I really need some help. But I want to shift your thinking around that to not like a needing help in a weak position, but recognizing that if you're going to be your ideal, optimal self, that you actually are exercising intelligence by recognizing that reaching out for support will help you get to your goals quicker, and also help you outsource some of this confusion that you may have about how to reach your goals, and also give you another pair of eyes, like someone else who's looking at you to say, you know what, I noticed that you are really low in energy when you start watching Netflix because you stayed up for like 4 additional hours or whatever it is, right? Sometimes we just don't even reflect on or see those things. So So reaching out for support is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of intelligence. And it's also a sign that you are fed up, honestly, with just the status quo. And you want things to be better for yourself, for your family, for your children, the people that you have to take care of, and just live a better life. So that support can look like several things. You could talk to your friends and family and say, listen, I am trying to achieve this health goal. Like, I want to be fit. I want to take walks more. Can you be my walking buddy? Or look, I want to eat better. Can we not go out for beers every Friday or for a glass of wine on Saturday nights? Can we do something else? Can you be my partner? And that's one way to ask for support. Another way to ask for support is really to have a healthcare team around you. So I talked about some health conditions and mental health conditions that can creep up on you when you're in your 40s if you haven't addressed them. It's really important to just seek that help, right? So get professional help where you need to. If you need to get a therapist, if you need to get to go to the doctor, and just get a physical. And that can be hard, right? And I don't mean, and forgive me, I don't mean a naturopath or your energy healer or getting a sound bath. I mean going to a good old-fashioned white coat Western doctor who's going to draw your blood and tell you if you've got diseases in your body, okay? I know that health is sort of a broader sense. I know that there's integrated wellness. I definitely believe in that. But I also believe that you have to have evidence-based approaches to your health. There's two parts to it. And you could be walking around developing cancer in your body and not know it because you have not gone for a checkup. I am saying this as I am due to go in for a mammogram that I do not want to I don't want to do myself. I know it's not fun, but we've got to do those health screens. That's just the baseline minimum. It doesn't mean that we have to go along with whatever that doctor suggests. We can always add more healing modalities to our health journey, but we have to have the facts. And that is just science. So we just have to do it, right? And I know this tends to be more a problem with men than women, but I have had clients who've come to me who have not gone to the doctor, or they've told me that they've gone to their naturopath or their whatever. And I'm like, okay, but is this person board certified? Does this person actually know health? And I know all doctors are not great, and it can be hard to find a good doctor. But if you do not have one, please have a relationship with at minimum a nurse practitioner or some type of health professional that is keeping track of you from year to year, that you at least know what your blood work is, all right? So you need to at least have that in your healthcare team. If you also need help with movement, you shouldn't just accept the fact that like, oh, my body doesn't move the way it used to. Hopefully, if you have health insurance, you can reach out and get like a physical therapist. You can go to an orthopedist. Get these issues checked out because you don't want to be 75 and that knee that you had that just had a twinge in it when you were 45 now doesn't work and you can't walk up steps. So you have to take care of yourself, okay? So get a healthcare team supporting you, and also, any goal that you have that you really want to reach when it comes to your health and wellness, I always am an advocate of coaching because it has helped me and my bodybuilding career. And throughout my life, at times when I felt like I am a little bit further behind than I'd like to be, I need like a little kick in the pants, so to speak. So I have used coaches in the past. Of course, as you all know, if you're listening to this, that I am a coach. So I'm definitely available to you if you want to have a conversation about how I could support you. But the bottom line is you need some support. And it's just proven that human beings are social animals. So as independent and as bad as you may be, it doesn't hurt to have some support. And in fact, you'll find that you benefit from it more the older that you get because you're just not as resilient, right? Because even though we've got the wisdom of our age, we also have some of that baggage that comes along with that, some of the effects of that. So that wisdom, there's a price for that wisdom. So we've got to take care of ourselves. So get some support. That's the first S. The second S is structure. Now, this is important because it can be so easy for us to get caught up in all of the different approaches, especially if you consume any content related to fitness or nutrition. There is someone telling you to eat animal organs. There is someone telling you to only eat raw fruit. There is someone telling you to do keto. There is someone telling you to, I don't know, eat only potatoes. There's all kinds of stuff, right? Then there's people telling you to only do HIIT. Then there's people telling you to do Tabata or whatever this type of cardio, or that type of cardio. There's a lot of misinformation. And if you are in your 40s now, you probably remember the low-fat craze of the 90s when everything was like, let's be low-fat. And then we were told that, oh, all of that was trans fat now, so we can't have margarine, you should have real butter. And then we were told, oh, but butter will still give you problems with your cholesterol, so don't do that. Like, there's so much misinformation and outdated information in the health and fitness space. And we also might think like, I just want to get fit, so I'm going to go to the gym and just do what I feel like. But if you just go to the gym and do what you feel or go to those group exercise classes, you are not following a structured program. So you need some structure around your nutrition as well as your fitness so that you can actually reach a goal. Otherwise, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to look back at the end of the year and say, all year I've been trying to get fit, quote unquote, which is a very vague goal. It's not actually a goal, it's an aspiration. You have to define it, and then you have to put some structure around it. I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week and I'm going to follow this strength training program, or I'm going to make sure I get 10,000 steps a day or 7,000 steps a day, or I'm going to make sure I take yoga once a week so that I can keep my body stretched out and supple, whatever it is, but you've got to have some structure around it. And this goes along with the first S, support, because it's really hard to stay in a structured program if you don't have the support to do so. So structure is really important. Also, because like I mentioned, when you get in your 40s, I don't know about you, but I definitely know for me, I'm a little bit more forgetful now. I'm a little bit more like, oh, wait, what did I do last week? What did I come into this room for? And I also have ADHD, so none of this helps, right? So if we're not following a structured plan and if we don't have support around it, it is so easy to get distracted, to forget what you were doing, and to not reflect on it, which means you have no clue. And the moment that you're in that space of, I don't really know what I've been doing, not only do I don't know what I've been doing, I don't know if it's been working, but I do know that I don't have energy, I'm all over the place, and when I look in the mirror, it's not what I want to see. That's the only thing that you know for sure. And so that is not a good space to be in. You want to have at least some information about, okay, I notice when I eat this, I feel like this. So you want to have some type of way to know, you know, where you are in this journey. And that mental capacity is a real thing. You know, I hate to admit it, but it does take me longer to do things sometimes. It takes me longer to think through things sometimes. It takes me longer even with technology. Sometimes when I was a teenager in my 20s, it was like super easy for me. And now it takes me a little bit longer. So that mental decline can be real. But there is a way to really combat that. And having that structure really does help because we can be all over the place without it. And the last S, and it's the last S for a reason, because it is probably really at the bottom of the list, but it can make a big difference, is supplementation. Now, I kind of tend to push back against this because the fact of the matter is the foundational principles of getting your nutrition together, getting your movement right, getting your training right, your sleep, your water intake, those are all going to take precedent over supplements. Supplements are not magic pills. I don't believe in taking fat burners. That is not a thing. It does not help. So hopefully I'll save you some money if you were thinking about buying a fat burner. But there are some supplements that can help. And here's the thing. Once you're over 40, like I mentioned, where our brains aren't working like they did in our 20s. We don't have the energy we did in our 20s. We need a little bit of help just to get back to baseline. So this is where supplements can be really powerful because we're not looking for a magic pill. We're looking for that edge that we need so that we can perform at the level we need to reach our goals. And we have to be consistent with our supplementation as well. We also have to know what to supplement with, which can be really difficult because this whole sort of nutrition industry and the supplementation industry specifically with like vitamins and all this stuff is not that well regulated. So I'm actually going to talk a little bit more in another episode about how to make sure that the supplements you get are high quality and which supplements that you should take, particularly if you're following a plant-based diet. So get your supplement stack in order. Do some research, find out what's best for you. Definitely communicate with your doctor what you're taking as well, because that's another thing that if we don't do, that can impact sometimes our blood test results. And if we haven't been transparent and our doctor didn't ask us, if you need to take the bottles into the office, do that. Like, I'm taking vitamin D, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. Show them what you're taking and how much so that they know sort of what that means. Because let's say you're supplementing with vitamin D, so you're not vitamin D deficient, then you stop taking it and then all of a sudden you have a deficiency, right? So you need to sort of know that to get your full health picture. But I definitely encourage you to explore supplements. Like I said, I'll be talking about that a little bit more later on this podcast. And sort of as a heads up, I am developing a supplement for women 40 and over. It's my supplement stack that I take every day, but I'll talk more about that later. If you're interested, feel free to email me, Tamara at Planet Power Fitness. Just put supplement in the subject line and I can give you more info on that. But just like a heads up, but definitely get your supplement stack in order because we do need that edge, all right? So just to recap, when we get in our 40s, it can be harder to get fit because our brains aren't operating like they used to. Our hormones are all over the place. We don't have the energy that we used to have, and we have far more responsibilities and stress than we did when we were younger. Fortunately, we can combat those things by getting the support that we need, getting a realistic picture of where we are with our health and our fitness and our nutrition so that we can move in the right direction, getting a structured plan around it so that we stay on track, don't fall off, and know that what we're doing is actually effective. And lastly, get the supplement stack in place that works for us, that we need so that we can get that energy edge, that we can get that little bit of edge we need when it comes to our mental performance, and we can make sure that we're getting just a baseline so that we can function and still achieve goals at the same level that we did when we were younger. So I hope that you found this helpful. As always, I hope that you are happy and healthy and that you have a wonderful week. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. If there's a topic that you want to hear, please feel free to reach out on Instagram at Plant Empowered Fitness, or you can email me directly at Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, at plantempoweredfitness.com. I do try to respond to every email. That is me in there. So if you want to reach out, please feel free. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your feedback so that I can continue to make content for you. So that's it for this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plant Empowered Fitness podcast. Connect with us on Instagram at Plant Empowered Fitness. To find out how we can help you meet your personal health and fitness goals, go to plantempoweredfitness.com. That's plantempoweredfitness.com.